I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
Okay, so inviting folks to call in with their scary stories today for Halloween, because it is Halloween. I love when Halloween falls on a Friday, so I can really enjoy it at the late hours of this, you know, job. Mm-hmm. Normally, I'm zonked by nine. I'm really ultimately should be in bed by seven. But so I actually really get to enjoy it with the kids. And this is kind of the really last year my kids are going to be able to go out trick-or-treating, like credibly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to just doing that one last time tonight. I'm so glad that we got great weather. And I'm not wrong. I'm just in a good mood because of it. Robert in Greer has a scary story. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, Tara. First time caller.
Cool.
Yeah. I was in the hospital for a long while. It just happened that one morning I was kind of halfway in and out of it because of the medication I was on. Well, I felt something move, and I opened my eyes. And when I looked up, it was like my sheet was hovering up over me. It was like a person was on each side of the bed holding the sheet up, but no one was there. Well, I called I pushed my nurse call button, and I said, listen, I need some help in here pretty quick, because I thought the medication was an adverse reaction, but it wasn't. Nurse come through the door. It's like she stood there for a couple of seconds, and then she let out this blood-curdling scream. And when she did, the sheet just fell right over me. And, I mean, that was really weird, but that's what happened to me.
So the nurse, the blood-curdling scream that she let out, Robert, that was in reaction to seeing the sheet?
Yes. Yes.
And I got to ask, because I know that the audience would want me to. In all seriousness, what were you taking at the time? Were you on painkillers or...?
Well, what it was is I had been in surgery for I've got Crohn's disease, and I had surgery, and I was on they had me on 0.05 Dilaudid.
Okay.
And that was just for pain, of course.
Yeah, but the nurse saw it too.
Yeah. And. that was really weird, and I thought I had been dreaming, but I wasn't dreaming. But it was weird.
So, have you seen anything like that since, Robert?
Well, it was a short time after that I had a second stroke, major stroke, and they had to put me in a sedated coma at that time. And something really, this had to do with my quick healing, I guess. But, you know, of course, I'm a firm believer in God. But shortly after that is when I was in that seduced coma, is when I really, I'm going to tell you, I actually saw God come to me. And it was an experience I'll never forget. But he came to me, he spoke to me, and when he touched me, it was like I woke up 7 days later, and I was totally They could find nothing wrong with me.
Now that's fantastic. That's not a scary story. That's really cool. Robert, thank you so much for your phone call. Talking about scary stories, I've done these call-ins on and off on Halloween, and we get some really cool stories sometime. This is one that was texted into the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. Hey, Tara, we had an old farmhouse that was built in the 1800s. It always had a weird feeling in the house. We'd feel a coldness go through us at times that took our breath away. One night, while laying in bed, we heard all the cabinets slamming. We thought maybe it was our cat. Well, the cat was in bed with us. We went downstairs to see that all of the cabinets and drawers were open. Then the cat went to an empty or what appeared to be an empty corner and started hissing, and all her hair was standing straight up. We then had our house anointed with oil ever since, window and door, and hung crosses in literally every room. Also, that house was in Chicago. That alone was scary enough. Yeah, well, she had to live in Chicago. That's very scary. Yeah, no, so once you did that, once you anointed it and hung up the crosses, did it stop? I hate when people leave me hanging. Or did it ever happen again? Love to hear your scary story. 800-905-0989. If you don't have time to call, that's okay. You can text it to us. Texter writes, my mother died in our house, and I was not there when she died or able to say goodbye as I was in the military. I came home for the funeral, and I was asleep in my room. I felt pressure on my legs and woke up. There was a black shadow at the end of my bed. I truly believe that was my mother coming back to say goodbye. Oh. Texter writes, is this an extended version of Coast to Coast AM? No, this is Halloween. We're having a little bit of fun. Texter writes, someone needs to remind him it's an induced coma. So funny. Texter writes, he meant well, he was sweet. Texter writes, there is zero. Oh, okay, another subject. There is zero chance the Republicans will vote to nuke the filibuster. And even if they did, they would then be defectors against opening the government, the usual suspects. Yeah, you're right. There is a problem with having that filibuster vote. Texter writes, Tara, scary story. I had a dream one night that I was a Democrat. Oh, a lot of people having fun with the seduced coma. Texter writes, I fell into a seduced coma once. Slept like a baby. Okay, y'all. That's enough. All right. Coming up on the show. Oh, folks, the Democrats are now in the process of essentially shutting down the airports over this illegal immigrant funding, healthcare funding. And you know what? Even if we get this up and running, we got to do it again in 3 weeks. I don't know what holiday travel's like. I'm starting to think if you're going somewhere for the holidays, maybe take a little bit extra time off and make plans to drive at the rate we're going here. All right, we'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sharing scary stories today on the show. A clock my grandparents had stopped at the exact same time on my grandfather's death certificate. The crazy part is my grandpa died in Florida and the clock is in their house in Michigan, closed up for the winter. No one was there. My grandma never touched or changed the clock. Sharing scary stories today because it is Halloween. So give us a call. Try to keep it short if you don't mind. Give us a call, 800-905-0989, or if you don't have time to do that, shoot me a short text. Thomas in Pelzer has a scary story. Hey, Thomas.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I bought a church about 4.5 years ago that was built in the 1800s, And we, my girlfriend and I, Selena Weems, we were restoring it. And one of the congregation people came by and said, oh, I'm glad somebody's restoring this church. And they said, I got to tell you a story. And I'm like, what is it? In 1960 or 59, 60, they were all sitting in the congregation listening to the music. And there was this disruption in the back. And they had some swinging doors back there. And they looked back there and there was some boy dancing in the foyer area, stomping his shoes. And everybody turned around and looked, about 60 people. And he was dressed in the 1800s. And he had knickers on and a hat. And he had this look on him. So they went, the deacons went to get him, and he disappeared. And it was a good haunted, but I have heard my name called two or three times. I'd be working on the church. We won an award for restoring the church, historical work in South Carolina. But there's a good spirit in the church. Everybody that walks into the church loves the church, but there's a spirit in the church, so it's a good spirit. So that's short. I love your show.
Thanks. Well, real quick, do you still have the church? Do you still own the church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we turned it into a wedding chapel called Libby Street Wedding Chapel, and we keep everything historic, and people come to the church, and we decorated it back in the 1800s, so it's just a beautiful church. And I have 1932 and a 32 Cadillac that the brides drive off, and everybody loves it. We try to keep it the old look.
Yeah. That's really cool. I love
old
stuff.
Church.
That's really, really cool. I used to renovate old houses because I just love old stuff. That
and
is
then we bought the
awesome.
House. We bought the house next door to us that was built in 1883, and it's haunted by two women that go up and down the steps late at night. It's really cool. It's not scary, but it is cool.
That would I gotta tell you, you said it's not scary. That would really creep me out. Texter writes, Tara, my dad was in the hospital for a heart condition. And this is the story my brother tells me as I am not there. My father was in bed and climbed out of bed as he saw a bright light. He went down the hall and the nurses stopped him. Thankfully, we had a few more months with him, but in the end, it is in God's hands. Okay. You know, his story reminds me of one. My son, Crash, went through a phase where he absolutely loved black bears. So, of course, we went to Cades Cove. If you haven't been to Cades Cove, you need to go to Cades Cove. It is the coolest place, one of my favorite places to go. It's in the Tennessee section of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, right? So the bears are protected. They know they can't be shot. I don't know how they know, but it's like they know. So they just walk around like they own the place because they do. So people will drive through there to see the bears. This is great if you've got kids who love bears. They go through that bear phase. So you drive through there, right? And it's kind of like a big loop, and you drive around, you try to spot the bears. It's a lot of fun. Well, inside Cades Cove, it's also kind of almost like a living museum because there were settlers that really were pioneers, and they settled it. And if you go through there, they have the original cabins and homes that they built that they've, you know, had to obviously replace and renovate parts of. But they're still the original homes, original homesteads. You can see exactly how they lived. So I'm going there through there with Crash, and Crash is really young. And we're in one of the homes. I'm in one of the rooms and I'm sort of looking through at him and he's standing there and he's having the very vivid conversation with somebody I can't see. And I figure it's just another tourist, right? Because people moving through there. I figure there's another tourist in the room. And he's just chattering away, talking and talking. And I'm looking around the room and kind of, you know, half paying attention to it. And so finally I can't see half the room he's in, if that makes any sense, but I'm, you know, in this other room, it's a log cabinet and he's just chattering away. He's like, I don't know, five or six maybe. And so I finally, you know, walk through the door to see who he's talking to. And I figure it's probably just another tourist. There's no one there. And I was like, Crash, bud, who are you talking to? And he points, he's like, her. And I'm like, what? There's nobody there, bud. And he's like, yeah, there is. And I went, whoa. So I, you know, just for the heck of it, I Googled it later. Just very curious. If you Google about Cades Cove, those homesteads are notoriously haunted. And I'm by far not the only one who's had an experience like that with whatever they are, entities, ghosts, I don't know, who actually talk to you. So that gave me the absolute chills. And after that, we didn't go into any more of them. I was like, you know, let's get going. And we were totally alone. There was nobody else there, you know, inside the cabin. So that's my scary story for Halloween. Love to hear yours. 800-905-0989. And I can't, as I'm walking away from the cabin, I'm telling him, there's no one there, but there was no one there. Yes, he insists there was a woman there and he was talking to her. Saw her plain as day. So telling scary stories for Halloween. We're going to do other stuff too on the show as well today, but just having a little bit of fun with it. Again, if you don't have time to call 800-905-0989, you can text. Yeah, a little Rob Zombie, little Halloween music. Love that. Let's jump on the line with Alan in Greer. Every family has these. And I swear, people just don't tell them because they're afraid of being judged or thought to be a little nuts. But every family has these, and they're always interesting. Alan, what's your scary story?
Well, it's not too scary, but my mother lived with us, and her name was Nana. And I have family members in Savannah. My granddaughter comes up. They come up about a couple of times a year. But my mom passed away day after Christmas last year. Just recently, my granddaughter came up with her family, and she's 2 years old, and she said hi to me, hi to my wife, hi to my son, and turned where my mama sat and said, hi, Nana.
Wow. That's wild. I think there's something with little kids and that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's like she said it like she was just sitting there and she looked straight at where she used to sit.
Was she questioned or, hey, what are you seeing or anything? Like that?
No, we just kind of looked like, what in the world just happened? You know, because wow. She's 2 years old. She didn't, like I said, she didn't come that often, you know, maybe a couple of times a year. So she knew my mom a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't like she was used to seeing her around. And so, but she just looked as naturally as she could, said, hi, Nana.
Mm. That's a cool story. Yeah, you know what? And like I said, we've experienced something like that in our family with my son just standing there having a very vivid conversation with somebody who was not there. Something he's, by the way, never done before or since. Thank you so much for your phone call. Corey in Powdersville with a scary story for Halloween. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, my grandfather, who was a young man in the early 1900s, told us about him and another guy were up on in a remote area up above Pickens called Nine Times, and it's along the creek, along East Detoy Creek up there, and they were in a horse-drawn wagon, and the wheels were up on the wagon, so they were on the side of the road, and it's pitch dark, no lights, of course, or anything, and he said they heard a wagon coming. You could hear the chains of the wagon. You could hear the clip-clop of the hooves of the horses. It was in a distance, and you could hear it coming closer and closer and closer, and then they heard it go right by them, but they didn't see a single thing. So they're thinking, here, we've got help on the way, and there was nothing. And so here they are out in the pitch dark on the side of a creek on the side of the road. And he said it was a bit spooky for even him, who was a pretty brave man at that point.
Where, that is creepy. Corey, where was that again, you said?
It's an area called Nine Times up above Pickens. It's still today a very remote area. It's right along East Detoy Creek up above Pickens between 183 and Highway 11.
Nine times, you said.
Nine times. They called it Nine Times because in the old days, the creek actually crossed the road nine times.
That's so cool. Yeah, a lot of little scary haunts and haulers around here, Corey. Thank you so much for your phone call. Texter writes, my grandmother and her neighbor, my grandmother and her neighbor were brutally murdered on Halloween. Home invasions. I was supposed to be there that night, but chose to stay with friends. The guilt was soul-crushing for decades. Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, one story I got one year when I did this, I don't do this every year, but I've gotten some really great stories over the years just doing call-ins on Halloween where, you know, anything kind of creepy or unusual is on the table. I had a guy who called me once and I thought it was really neat. He told the story. He said he was out and I don't know farm equipment, okay? So bear with me, but he was out on some kind of farm equipment and there is a relatively large sized, I guess, blade or thresher or something. And he says it hit a pretty large rock. He already wasn't holding on and I'm trying to remember it as best I can. He already wasn't holding on very well, or he was not seated properly. And he says he fell off and he was basically waiting to be ground up, like, you know, that terrible feeling of falling. And then he says, and I felt the feeling of falling. And then he says, I was right back in the seat. And he said, not just seated back where I was, but like seated properly, like I really should have been to operate the equipment. And he said, I don't know how that happened. And he said, but I just had this incredible sense of peace. And he said, I feel like God saved me. And he said, it was just absolutely wild. He says, he's absolutely certain that it happened. And I thought that was a really cool story. So it wasn't like a ghost story, but it was just, you know, it's really cool. So love to hear your scary Halloween story, because why not? It's Halloween. And I don't think this shutdown's going anywhere. Texter writes, Tara, your chair sounds haunted. You know what that is? That is actually my microphone. It's not my chair. I know it's driving you guys nuts. I brought like lubricant for that today for joints and stuff, and I put it on. It doesn't seem to be helping. So I might actually have to get engineering in here. I don't know. Texter writes, Tara, maybe we should use the Arctic Frost surveillance list to clean out the Republican dead weight. If you weren't on that list, apparently you're not effective. Well, here's the thing. Everybody was on that list. It's, I'm really hoping somebody spends some time on this weekend, this list. By the way, we'll layer in, the scary stories, the haunted stories, whatever it is for you. And maybe it could be, you know, UFOs. I don't know. Just cool, fun stuff for Halloween with regular coverage. Yeah, folks, I spent even more time yesterday going through the Arctic Frost subpoenas and the list that was compiled by the Judiciary Committee staff. If you want to see it, it's attached to my Battleground America podcast. You can just find it where, you know, on our website, wherever you find your podcasts. I put it in the sources section. I spent more time coming through it. And folks, our media has done a very, very poor job of reporting the story. That just the absolute extent of Arctic Frost and how terrifying it is that the Democrats did this. I mean, folks, they were already well on their way of putting, you know, Trump away for the rest of his life, 700 years worth of charges across 5 cases. And you know what? We didn't object very heavily. So they said, well, you know what? We'll just put away the whole Republican Party, and those we can't put away, we'll just bankrupt. You can see what they did with these subpoenas. Folks, they subpoenaed financial transaction records from every single major bank in this country and many, many minor ones that I've never even heard of before. And they subpoenaed records from Discover, from the credit card companies. Every single transaction, they had it. And you can see what they were doing here. If you go through and look at the dates, you can see exactly what they were doing here. They started with Trump's PACs. They started with Trump's websites, which of course have buttons you can click to donate. And then they fanned out from there. This was a campaign of terror. They were getting all of the donations. They were getting all of, you know, because obviously they're going to be financial transactions. They were getting them on both ends by the banks, but they were also getting them via the websites. They even subpoenaed GoDaddy for all the information. This is every single site that Trump has. But folks, it's also the RNC, which is the nerve center of the Republican Party, as the DNC is the Democrat Party, and the big pack that the Republican Party uses, WinRed. So this isn't just Trump, or Trump shouldn't have objected, or Trump shouldn't have advocated for an alternate slate of electors, which is why they said they did this. By the way, that's not illegal. This was an absolute bold attack on the Republican Party. There's no other way to put it. And folks, remember how I pointed out to you that the 8 key architects of Trump's victory in 2026, every one of them is now a convicted felon? Yeah, well, you can see just once you get down even to the 6th subpoena here, who are they going after? Oh, they were going to do it again. They put Trump's last campaign manager, Manafort, in prison. And these subpoenas go after his 2 campaign managers, Bill Stepien and Brad Parscale. He fired Brad in July and then brought Bill on. And every single group, organization, law firm, bank account associated with the campaign managers is subpoenaed. And folks, Brad Parscale, again, was gone by July. It didn't matter. You know what they were doing here? This is, look, when you look at the date of this, right? It's 2022. This was an operation to watch every aspect of the Republican campaign in order to give the Democrats a head up. That's what it is. Everybody around Trump has a speeder. Rudy Giuliani, Boris Epstein, Nick Traynor, Jeffrey Clark, even Larry Trump, Mark Meadows, Brad Parscale. I mean, this is wonky stuff. If you don't do this for a living, you won't know those names. This is everyone around Trump who put him in office. You know what they're going to do? They're either going to bankrupt these people or put them in prison. This was a massive fishing expedition. But here's the thing. It starts with Trump and his organizations, right? But it very quickly spans out to things like Conservative Partnership Institute. That's not a Trump institute. Full Compass Systems. Anybody who was on the Republican side but did business with Trump or his campaign. And folks, that's just page one. I don't know, page two and page three. They went through GoDaddy, every single account that they had with GoDaddy. So each one's a website, right? Because that's a website company. Every bank account, every website company. Folks, I was sitting here counting the break. There's over 60 law firms here that got subpoenaed, including the people inside of them, all of whom just did work either for Trump, the Democrat Party, Win Red, or other candidates. This is the entire Republican ecosystem. Fuck, this is East German. Okay, coming up on the show, it looks like we've got some great scary stories. We're going to come right back with those. If you've got one, 800-905-0989. Let's jump on the line real quick. Let's see who called first. Tony with a scary story. Hey, Tony.
How are you?
Oh, hey, Tony Deal, Common Sense Retirement Planning. Tell me your scary story. I'm doing good.
Okay, so this goes back to 1968. I was in a rock and roll band in L.A., and we rented this big Mediterranean house and put a studio in it. And it was beautiful. It was up in Laurel Canyon, and it was really cool. But then these weird things started happening in this house. We started hearing noises in the middle of the night. People would knock on the door, and my bandmates would say, "Hey, why are you knocking on my door at 2 in the morning?" I said, "I didn't do it." Then we heard people talk, somebody walking on the roof, and anyway, this went on for a while. I had a friend who was an author, Sydney Bennett, who knew about these sort of things. So she comes to the house and she said, "Well, there are two spirits in this house." She did, I guess, seance or something. I'm not sure. But she said, "They're one of them is a malignant, a bad one, and one of them isn't, but they're definitely here." Well, I called up the landlord and I said, "Look, there's some weird stuff going on in your house here. This is what, by the way, it's one of those houses that was built back in the early 20s. It's one of those great big Mediterranean things, sits on the side of a hill." He said, "Well, I should have told you." He said, "That used to belong to Rudolph Valentino. It was his party house. And two people committed suicide in that house."
Mm.
"And yeah, it's haunted. One of them was a male lover, apparently, of Rudolph Valentino, and the other one was a female. But it was real, and I was happy to move out of it when we did."
I bet you were. Oh, my gosh. Did it feel creepy at all?
Oh, yeah. You could feel this weird vibe going on in this house. And I never was comfortable in the place. So there you go.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for...
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You're sticking to it. Thank you so much for your phone call this morning. Let's see if we can get... Yes, we have time to get one more in, if you keep it to about 2 minutes. Brian with from Landrum, welcome.
Good, thanks. I'll make this one quick. I used to work for a company back in the late 80s, and maintenance worked on the weekends and night shifts when there was nobody else in there. So a buddy of mine was in this one particular very big area that we was doing maintenance in. And we kept hearing the pallet jacks, pallet movers on the second level. And we kept hearing forklifts and all this other stuff. And we didn't think about it at first. And then we started realizing that there was not a second floor. And we asked around, and sure enough, there was a second floor back in the 70s, but it had been removed. But we were still hearing all the residual stuff.
Wow.
From that. Now, the spooky part is later on, you know, several weeks later, again, we was in there working at night by ourselves. And this kid come running up in a t-shirt. And we was like, "There's not supposed to be nobody here. Maybe it's one of the salesmen. Maybe it's somebody. It's something." So the kid just kind of looked at us, took off, and ran. So me and him, of course, ran out in this big old warehouse trying to find this kid. Never did see nothing. Never heard a door. Never saw a light come on, because we had automatic lights that would come on when you would walk under them. Never found the kid. And also, we never worked back in that part of the section unless there was about four of us over there.
So you never found the kid? Did you ever learn it was haunted or?
Yeah, everybody said there's all kind of stuff that always happened around in that area that always seen stuff. And a couple of people had gotten killed over there several years before, back, you know, safety times and all that. But yeah, there was all kind of stories and all kind of things going on over there all the time. So I'm glad I'm not there anymore.
Yeah. I got to tell you, that kid part gives me chills. That would have freaked me out. Anything at night too, like that, you're just, wow. Okay. Hey, if you are on the lines, hang on. We've got some great ones on the text line as well. Send me your scary stories, 800-905-0989. We're crowdsourcing the show this morning for Halloween.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.